Hi, I'm Candice LeRae, and I am a proud First Nations female music producer. I was born in Latakia country with ties to Jawin country and over to the Torres Strait, all over to Erab, Mabiog, Badu, Thursday Islands. And I grew up mostly on Noongar Budja over there on Boorloo. And now living in Naam in Melbourne on Kulin country. And even though I'm here in Naam, I still call my home Darwin. The Northern Territory was where my heart and my spirit lies in everything that I do.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you so much for that. And thank you again for coming on NITV Radio to do a little interview with me. And I want to say a big congratulations on being one of the recipients of the 2024 First Nations Fellowships at the recent 2025 First Nations Arts and Culture Awards.
Thank you.
Massive achievement and a big congratulations. How did it feel to receive that award?
It was just unbelievable. Like, I did not think that I would be receiving the award. There was like an application process, you know, to talk about what you're planning to do with your fellowship. And so I was kind of thinking it was like more of a grant process, you know, you apply for it and for your project and you get the money. And so we got notified that I was accepted and I got the fellowship. And then just to follow up that, it was like, it's an actual award. It was like, it was just really humbling to and exciting to know that there was that extra step in the fellowship was to go and actually have an award ceremony. And it was extra special. So I feel, so grateful for it.
And for people who don't know, can you explain a little bit about the Fellowship Award? And, you know, you mentioned the application process, but what does the award provide you?
Yeah, so from my thinking, what I know, it's for more established artists that want to take their art to the next level, or what, you know, what can the artists do to establish that's not being done, you know, where's the gaps, what needs, what do we need in this industry, or what do we need in the arts, and those people that are going to, you know, lead projects in a different way. And for me, as a emerging producer and artist, I was performing for the last decade with a group called the Marindas, and I was I started to tinker and produce in a lot of the earlier music of Marindas, and then eventually I was at the point where I was just producing the music myself. And then I had a lot of inquiries and just a lot of, attention that I was a female, especially a female First Nations producer, and I had a couple of friends reach out and say, hey, can you produce my stuff? Because it was, I know a lot of artists out there have felt really uncomfortable with reaching out to producers, but there was just something about you know, me already being an artist and already knowing people in the industry, where people just started to come to me to sit in a space and record them. And it just kind of dawned on me that most of those people were women, and I've had many conversations that there's not enough women in the recording and engineering space. And I've been in the industry for 20 years.
Oh, wow.
And I have not come across, I've done many albums, I have not come across a female producer or engineer,
mm-hmm.
And a First Nations one at that. And so the conversations we've had with women about comfortability in the space, and a lot of the women that I sit with have had stories and songs sitting for over a decade, more than 10 years, and they just haven't felt confident enough to go into a studio and record them. But now I've got a handful of projects now that are just beautifully growing in this space that I've created. You know, through the fellowship has allowed me to fund a recording studio, and my time to be in the studio, being there for these women to support them in their recording projects and training another handful of them in music production. So my vision is to is for more female First Nations music producers, especially in electronic music. So the next 2 years is going to be pretty cool, pretty fun.
Yeah, it
sounds thanks
awesome.
To the fellowship. Yeah.
Such a great opportunity and so great for you to be able to really support other First Nations women in that space, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
Just to make people feel comfortable and also provide that experience that you've got as well. And I did want to talk a little bit about your music journey. Like, where did it all begin for you?
Yeah, so I was at a really young age and I would dance around the living room, and I was in Darwin at the time, and me and Mum's biggest thing was, you know, cranking up the stereo in the house every evening, and I listened to a lot of music, and I always remember how it makes me feel and how all I ever wanted to do was listen to music, was be and live in music. And at the time, Yothi Indy were a biggest hit in the late 80s, early 90s up in Darwin. So I used to listen to a lot of Yothi Indy. And when I was traveling down with Mum in the car, we picked up a cassette tape on the side of the road. It was a Whitney Houston, the first time I ever heard Whitney Houston, Bodyguard soundtrack. And from then I'm like, yes, I want to be a singer. I was 7 years old.
Oh, that's so cute.
and so I was just singing all the way down. And I wake up every day wanting to do music. So I focused on that throughout school. After school, I left high school early to go into a music college to study. I studied at Ab Music College, which is a Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander music college in Perth. So I got my diploma there, and then I went on to lecturing there. So I was teaching in a lot of different subjects for 10 years there. So I was there for like 14 years. I was at Ab Music, and I was in a couple of bands and managing a couple of bands. And so I was sort of involved in all of that, as well as my own stuff as a solo artist. And then the opportunity of Marindas came. It just, when the Sapphires came out, we got asked to do to form a girl group for the opening of that film in Perth. And that just snowballed it. We got a lot of bookings, and we ended up just making it a band for the Marindas. We called it the Marindas. Lily Gogos at the time was in the band, and her mum was like, what's a good name for the band? And it was, and Marinda means beautiful woman in Eora language, Eora language. And so, yeah, so we roll with that. And it's just, the Marindas has been like, I don't know, it's just been 100% my living for the last 10 years. And I've been rolling into music production since my time at Ab Music. So I've been doing it for nearly 15 years. So it's been a journey.
Yeah, that's so awesome. I was going to ask you about the Marindas and how that collaboration came about. So you said it was back when the movie, like when the Sapphires came out?
Yeah, we were performing Motown songs, and at the time we were called the Motown Girls, and it was Angela Rule and Lily Gogos and myself. And we performed this one-off show, had a massive standing ovation, and then we got phone calls. Oh, you got to continue it. Let's book you. And we got like band bookings all over the place. We're selling out gigs. And from after 6 years of doing Motown covers, a couple of the girls stood off from the band, and then we had Rhiannon come in, and then Christelle came in first. So Christelle replaced Lily, and then Rhiannon replaced Angela, and then it ended up just being me and Christelle. And me and Christelle were like, hey, let's write originals, because like we want to tell our own stories, and we want to stop doing covers, you know. So what the East Coast here is, I don't think the East Coast knows the Motown Marindas. The West Coast know the Motown Marindas. They don't know the new original Marindas.
Like on NITV radio, we play Sing Until Sunrise. That's one of our favorite songs to play. Such a good track. And I remember you guys performing It might have been at the NAIDOC ball in Canberra five or six years ago. Yeah,
I remember that one.
Yeah, and yeah. I remember that might have been like the first time I'd heard you both singing and live, mm-hmm. and it was awesome. And yeah, it's such an interesting story about how you mentioned the like evolution of the band and then writing original songs. And how has your identity as a First Nations artist like shaped your creative process and the stories that you tell through your music?
For me, it's about connecting back to family and country. For me, as a person, and I know everybody has this in them, is that as you grow older, you want to learn more about your family and where you're from and, you know, your heritage. And and part of what I like to do with my music is tie it all together, because what I write about and perform on stage is, you know, it's me telling my story. And the more that I learn about my heritage, my ancestors, my I feel, for me, it gives me more of a sense of belonging and a purpose to, you know, I just think art in general, especially with the new show that I'm doing, my solo act and my album, is compiling the stories of my family and speaking to country and our beliefs, and putting it all into one beautiful piece of art that will be passed down to the next generation. And it's all about the next generation for me. I love mentoring. I'm really passionate about helping young emerging people tell their story in music. And that's sort of where I fell into the Singing Our Futures program, which is another thing that I'm doing with the Archie Roach Foundation, where we mentor 5 young people each year into songwriting and recording their own songs and telling their stories on major platforms at big festivals across the country. So we've got Big Sound and St Kilda Festival and Port Ferry Folk Festival. And it all just comes back to our story, really.
And do you enjoy being behind the scenes and that creative process more than performing, or is it just like a different experience and like you're giving different things? Like, what do you enjoy more?
If I put a percentage on it, I do probably 80% of the time enjoy behind the scenes more. But at the same time, when I'm at that 20% and I'm on stage doing it, I feel 100% wholesome, and I feel like I just become a different person. But then I have to switch back to that other person off stage, which I love. I do love being behind the scenes, because it's all about community and gatherings and just connecting with people. It's all about working with people, really. And
And what do you hope to see in the future for First Nations artists in the music industry? Like, do you have any advice that you can give any young mob that are dreaming of a career in music or in the arts?
Yeah, well, at the moment, I do want to see more First Nations women in the music production engineering space, because we have a lot of, female artists out there that are just sitting there and don't feel confident or comfortable enough to be in a space that's controlled by men. And there's just something magical about women coming together and creating beautiful music. And only women would understand what I'm trying to say with that. But I just feel, there's so many incredible Indigenous talent right now coming out of the woodworks. Mm-hmm. So, I just want to see more events, like more. I know we had a lot of events back in the day, like we had the Deadlies, we had Dreaming Festival, there was Boomerang Festival. I just feel like now that we've grown in our artists, I feel like we've been stripped back of all those opportunities a little bit. And I just want to see it thrive in the event space as well.
I just want to also say it's been so lovely to chat to you, and congratulations on
Thank you so
your
much.
Award. It's so well deserved.
Thank you.